Exodus 12, verse 25 through 27. Exodus 12, 25 through 27. And it shall come to pass, when you be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshiped. Now then, we have gathered together here tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that we have gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he promised in his word that where two or three are met together in his name, that he would be in their midst. And we have sung hymns of praise and hymns of thanksgiving to our God. And we have selected hymns that have reference to the blood of Christ and to the suffering of Christ and to the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the pastor is in his place and the deacons are in their places. And we have before us here on this table bread and wine, broken bread and wine poured in a cup. Now, in a few moments, each believer here, each redeemed person, will receive some of this bread and some of this wine. And we will eat the unleavened bread and we will drink the wine in a most solemn manner. We will eat the bread and drink the wine with reverence and yet with great joy. We will eat the bread and drink the wine conscious of our sins, conscious of our unworthiness, and yet with full knowledge of our forgiveness. We will eat that bread and drink that wine knowing that the bread is but bread, nothing more, that it has no saving power for anyone, not in itself. And yet this bread takes on great significance, as though it were the actual body of our Lord. It is not. But yet it represents his body. And it carries a significance that makes it greater and more important than ordinary bread. And a fearful thing to take it, not discerning its significance. And we will drink that wine knowing that it is but wine. It can be poured, that which is left can be poured back in the bottle and stored for another time. That this wine has no healing power in itself. It has no saving power in itself. It is not a sacrament. And yet our Lord said, when he handed that wine to his disciples, he said, this is my blood. This is my blood, which is shed for the many for the remission of their sins. And that blood has healing power. And that blood has saving, sanctifying power. That blood which this wine represents, which lends great significance to the wine which we hold in our hands, and yet remembering that it is a memorial feast. It is not a funeral, it is a feast. It is a supper. And the bread is but bread, and the wine is but wine. But our Lord gave it great importance. when he said, "This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you." And the Apostle Paul gave it great importance when he said, "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat, and so let him drink. For he that eateth and drinketh in an unworthy fashion, eateth and drinketh destruction to himself. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, not discerning the Lord's body." And we take this bread and we take this wine, constantly examining ourselves. Examining ourselves to find within us, not examining anyone else, but examining ourselves to find within ourselves some discernment, some understanding of this great sacrifice. As Tom said, this substitutionary sacrifice, which gave satisfaction to the holy law of God and the justice of the living God. And constantly examining ourselves to find faith. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on this earth? May he find it in me. May he find it in you. And we do search to find that faith in him, not in a system, not in a doctrine, not in an ordinance, but to find faith in him and his blessed work. And while we come constantly examining ourselves to find that discernment and that understanding and that faith, yet we come. He said, "Let a man examine himself, and so let him come." He didn't say, "Let a man examine himself and stay away." But let him examine himself and come and take the bread. And we come boldly as the chief of sinners, but boldly because the chief of sinners is coming to a throne of grace. And he's coming for one purpose, to find mercy, not merit. Mercy. And there's mercy there. There's mercy for the greatest sinner. There's mercy for the weakest sinner. There's mercy for the chief of sinners. But that mercy is in Christ. And that mercy is because of this broken body and this shed blood. So when your children, Moses said to the Israelites, when your children ask, "What mean ye by this service?" So I say, when your children ask, or when your own heart asks, "What mean ye by this service?" What shall we say? Well, the old Jews say, it's the service of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptian and delivered our houses. And when our children ask, "What mean ye by this service?" we say, it's the Lord's table. It's the Lord's table. Not the church's table, it's the Lord's table. It's served up by one host, the Lord of glory, who in his grace and in his mercy passed over us when his judgment and wrath fell upon Adam's race. And because of the blood of his dear Son, which was shed for the remission of our sins, and because of the suffering body of his dear Son which bore our guilt and our iniquities, he delivered our souls. It's the Lord's table. Now, all that our Lord did in redemption is promised in the Old Testament. That's the reason I turned here to Exodus 12. Because all that he did is not only promised, but it's prophesied in the Old Testament scriptures. And it's pictured in the Old Testament. For example, Paul said this, "Brethren, I do preach unto you the gospel by which you have received and which you have believed, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." According to the scriptures, that he was buried and rose again according to the scriptures. For Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Christ is our Passover. If you look now at Exodus 12, beginning with verse 3, we're going to see this prophecy and this picture in Exodus 12, verse 3. Now, here was Israel down in Egypt, as we were in, like Tom said in his prayer, the darkness of human religion, tradition, form and ceremony, without life, without God, without light, without Christ. But he came down to Egypt and he said to the Israelites in verse 3, he said, "Now Moses, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of the month, this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb." A lamb. Now, this lamb is Christ. This is not the first mention of the lamb. When God covered Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden with coats of skin, shed the blood of an animal to cover them. And he didn't cover them with wool, he covered them with the skin. So blood had to be shed. A life had to be given. That's the first picture we have of substitution. A lamb died that man's nakedness might be covered. Then Abel brought a lamb. And then Abraham brought a lamb. And here he said, take a lamb. So Christ is our lamb. He's the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He's the lamb in the midst of the throne as it had been slain. When John the Baptist saw him at the river Jordan, he said, behold the Lamb of God. And Isaiah said he's led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, he opened not his mouth. So this lamb here, this lamb in Egypt is Christ. It's Christ. Now he says, take a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to the house take it according to the number of souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. And your lamb shall be without blemish. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is without blemish. He knew no sin. He did no sin. No guile was in his mouth. The Heavenly Father said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Our lamb is without spot or blemish. They were not to take an afflicted lamb or a lamb that nobody wanted or a diseased lamb, but the firstling of the flock. The best lamb, the one without blemish or spot, a male, not an old lamb about to die or a baby lamb that's just been born, but a lamb of the first year in the prime of life. Our Lord Jesus Christ is God's lamb. Without spot or blemish, 33 years old in the prime of life. And you shall take it, verse 5, from the sheep or from the goats. And put it up for 4 days. Select it on the 10th day and put it up for 4 days to the 14th day of the same month. And observe it. And observe it. How do I liken that to Christ? Our Lord Jesus Christ, from all eternity, a son is given, a child is born. And that son which is given, his name is Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But the Father prepared a body for him. And that body was shapen, conceived, shapen, formed in the womb of a woman, just like you and I were born, yet without a human father. And he came forth from the womb, and our Master came and took up his abode in that body. And he lived on this earth, carefully observed. He was tested of Satan under the most rigid circumstances, having fasted for 40 days. He was tested of the law, every law, Moses' law, moral law, Levitical law, the civil law, the laws of the land, the laws of the home. For these 33 and a half years, our Lord was observed and tested and tried. Tempted in all points as we are, yet no fault was found in him. No fault. Keep it up to the 14th day and then kill it. And then kill it. Our lamb was slain. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. The soul that sinneth shall die, shall surely die. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death, and Christ had to die. You can't have the shed blood without the death of the one who shed it. You see, when you take this bread and you break it, that's his body broken. His visage was marred as no other man. He hath no form, no comeliness that we should desire him. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. The shame and humiliation of his death and his broken body was so awful. And when you take the wine and you squeeze it from the grape, the juice is pulverized and mashed from the grape and then poured into a glass. That's a picture of our Lord's blood being shed. And so he died. Death must occur. All right, verse 7. And then take the blood. Here's an act of faith. Take the blood. You don't only just select the lamb and observe the lamb and slay the lamb, but you take the blood. Take it. Here, this is my blood, which is shed for you. Take and eat. Take and drink. You take it and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein you shall eat it. Now, you shall eat the carcass. Eat it. You shall eat it. You shall eat the flesh, verse 8, that night. Roast it with fire. Now, when they took the lamb, when the Israelites took the lamb, which is Christ, without blemish, without spot, a male of the first year, and they observed it. It did pass the test. It didn't fail. Then they slew it, and they caught the blood. And they put that blood on the lintel and the doorpost, and then they roasted the lamb. That's a picture of his agony and suffering hanging on that cruel cross. Our Lord suffered as no man ever suffered. The preaching and pictures and sculpture today makes it look glamorous, but the cross was a horrible, indescribable experience, an ignominious death. He was naked. He didn't have a loincloth on. His face had been beaten to a pulp. His beard had been plucked out. His back lacerated. He went through hell on that cross. The agony and heat and suffering and burning of hell on that cross, under that horrible heat, not only of the temperature from within, but from without, and the desertion of all men, yea, even of his dear Father. Burn it, he said. Take that carcass and burn it. And that's what they did. Burn it. Roast it with fire. All right, look at the next line. And eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. What are the bitter herbs? Well, that denotes our sorrow for sin and our repentance. It's not to be tasted. It's not to be served in a manner of sweetened and pleasant, but with bitter herbs. You eat it with sorrow, with repentance, with grief over your sin. Verse 9, don't eat it raw. Christ must suffer. He must suffer. It's not just his life by which we're saved, though we are. We're saved by death. You can't just have the example of Christ and even the perfect life of Christ. You've got to have the blood of Christ, the death of Christ. Now, by his life, as we heard a moment ago, he imputed to us a perfect righteousness. But an incarnate Lord and a perfect life and a perfect example will not save. Has to be a cross. Has to be death. So you don't eat this lamb raw now. You cook it. You roast it with fire. Christ must suffer, for by death, by blood, he saves his people. And don't you sodden it with water. Don't you make gravy and put on it either. Eat it plain. We don't want any works mixed up with it. We don't want any of the dainties of the flesh or any of the trifling of man's hand. Roast it and eat it not raw. Eat it roasted and eat it with bitter herbs of repentance and sorrow for sin, and don't mix anything with it. No water, no gravy, no salt. It's Christ and Christ alone. And that's the biggest struggle that people have today, is trust in Christ. They'll trust Christ in anything else, but that won't save. In fact, actually, if you add anything to Christ, he profits you nothing. He becomes a stumbling block to you. So don't you mix any water with it, anything else. And you eat, watch it now, eat the head, the legs, and the inner parts. Eat it all. Leave none. If the house is too big, too little for the lamb, you two houses go together. But don't you eat, leave any of it. Because when we receive Christ, we receive Christ in all his offices, in all his attributes, in all his person and work, and not half of Christ. Can't have Christ as priest unless you have him as king and prophet. You can't have Christ as Savior and not have him as Lord. You can't have Christ as an example and not have him as the Creator. You can't have Christ the Creator and not have him the sovereign, reigning Redeemer over all his heritage. Not half of Christ. Won't do. Won't do. Won't do. Not three-fourths of a Christ. It's got to be all. It's got to be as he is in all of his glory and power. Now that, and verse 10, don't you let any of it remain to the morning. That which remaineth, you will burn it with fire and eat it with your loins girded. Verse 11, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. We're moving on. We look for a city not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And this is the Lord's Passover. And I'll pass through the land of Egypt this night. I'll do it, God said. The world has a death angel doing it, but God does it. And I'll smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I'll execute judgment. I'm the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I'll pass over you. Pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You'll keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. All right, turn to Luke 22. And this, in Luke 22, is when our Lord Jesus Christ gathered his disciples together to observe the last Passover. Right before he suffered. Right before God's Lamb, without blemish or spot, burned on the altar of Calvary and shed his blood that we might be redeemed. In Luke 22, beginning with verse 7, then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said to him, wherewithal we prepare? He said unto them, behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And you shall say unto the goodman of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he'll show you a large upper room furnished, there make ready. And they went. And they found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he said, take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks, and brake it, and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do, in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new testament, the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. This do in remembrance of me. I hear two simple words. This do. This do. Not something else. This do. not all the paraphernalia that's been added to this supper, but this do, this simple act, do. Take the bread, break it, bless it, and eat it. Take the wine, bless it, and drink it. This do. And he said, this do in remembrance of me. He didn't say this do as a sacrifice to be saved. He didn't say this do as a means of disciplining the church. I've heard men say, well, we discipline our church around the Lord's table. Christ didn't say that. He said, this do in remembrance of me, for no other reason. He didn't say make a sacrament of it. He didn't say make a means of discipline the church around it. He didn't say this do as an indication of church unity. He said, this do in remembrance of me. Why can't we do what he said? Why do we feel that we are so much smarter than God that we have to make it elaborate, impressive, ceremonial? This do in remembrance of me. He didn't say this do to show your worthiness. You have none. This do in remembrance of me. Did you get it? Did you get it? If you can get hold of that, you can understand this table. And you can tell your children about it. This do in remembrance of me. What do I remember? I remember who he is. I didn't say who he was. I said who he is. Never use the word was in reference to our Lord. I hear preachers say, when the Lord Jesus was on the earth, he's here now. I remember who he is. I remember who he is. I remember why he came to this earth. That's what I'm remembering tonight. I'm remembering that he came to this earth so that his Father could be just and justify me. That's why he came to this earth. I remember he came to this earth because the Father, back in the councils of eternity, gave him a people called his sheep, his brethren, his jewels, his church, his body. And he came down here to redeem. And he said, of all that my Father giveth me, I won't lose a one. I'm going to raise every one of them up at the last day. He came down here on a mission. And when he finished that mission, he said to the Father, I've finished the work you gave me to do. And when he suffered on that cross, he cried so that the whole universe could hear him. It's finished! And all of them said, lift up ye heads, O ye gates, and the King of Glory is coming home. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. The Lord victorious. Sit down, my son, on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. A satisfied Savior. I remember who he is. I remember why he came. I remember where he is now. And in memory of his cross and shame, I take this supper in his name. This juice of grape and flour of wheat, my outward man doth drink and eat. Oh, may my inward man be fed with better wine and better bread. May thy pure flesh and precious blood supply my soul with eternal food. I thank thee, Lord, who died for me. Oh, may I live and reign with thee. And then the Apostle Paul took it up in 1 Corinthians 11. The Apostle Paul, the Lord's appointed apostle to the Gentiles, wrote to the church in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. He said, for I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you. I delivered it unto you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do, in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup, And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show. To your friends, to your family, to yourself, to your God. You do show your faith in and confidence in and trust in and rest in the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, because of the great significance, tremendous importance, it's not a time to trifle. Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, not that any of us are worthy, but in an unworthy fashion, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. What are you examining yourself for? To see if you're without sin? You'd never come. To see if you're perfectly holy in the flesh? You'd never come. To see if you're better than you were last week? You'd never come. You examine yourself to see that you discern and enter into and believe in and know something about what he's talking about here. And that God has done a work of grace in your heart. For whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, in a trifling way, in a traditional way, just as a custom or a responsibility or a duty or seeking to find in it some salvation, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. May God bless you as you receive the bread and the wine tonight.
Bread of heaven, on thee I feed, for thy flesh is meat indeed. Ever may my soul be fed with this true and living bread, day by day with strength supplied through the blood of him who died. Vine of heaven, thy blood supplies this blessed cup of sacrifice. 'Tis thy wound my healing give. To thy cross I look and live. Thou my life, oh, let me be.